what he does. He still kills and destroys. That's what Scripture says, huh? John 10, we're about to be there in tomorrow. John 10's reading. That's what he says. For the enemy cometh nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. And what does he want to steal? The Word of God. What does he want to kill? Our worth and our value before the Lord. What does he want to destroy? Our world. That our surroundings, those who are around us. He wants us to turn and look inward. And when we look inward, we're either going to have too high of an estimation of ourselves or too low of an estimation. And we're not. How many of y'all are cold? Y'all cold? Comfortable? Feel good? Hot?
Hot.
Hot. But yeah, that's right. That's in John. That's going to be in John 10. But the shepherd knows his sheep. And his sheep will hear his voice and they're going to follow him. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now that's not because the sheep have anything special about them. He's already started off in chapter 1. Remember when he said that this is a man has to be born of God. This is of God. It's not of blood. It's not of the will of man nor the will of flesh, but of God. John chapter 3 has helped us with this. Matter of fact, let's just take a little journey and look at a couple of these tonight. Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Remember, John 1 is John's understanding of who the Word of God is. And that the Word became flesh and the Word dwelt among us. And when we worship Him, when we learn of Him through His Word, we are in worship and service of God Himself. And we don't want to miss that God is in the presence of His Word. That He communicates us. Remember, they missed it at that Feast of Booth. They didn't realize who they was with. And you know how many times we can gather or people can gather and the Word of God could go forth and they have no idea that they actually hearing the breath, the Word of God, and how they just missed that totally. And we don't want to miss that. God's got a word for us. He's speaking to us. But He says these words, verse number 12 of chapter 1. But as many as receive, that means to grasp, to get a hold of, to seize, to take hold of Him. To them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. Now for that to happen, He's going to reveal. Why did they welcome Him? Why did they seize Him? Why or how did they become children? They were born not Verse 13, not of blood, not of the will of man, nor of flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of who? God. Born of God. Born of God. This is the, John is saying this is a result of God's work that they seized Jesus and took a hold of Him. That is, they welcomed and received Him with joy. They believed in Him because of the work that God done in their heart. Now, go over, if you would, in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3. Let's see how this kind of just works its way out for us. John 3. Verse number 5 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in what? The kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. It comes from something you can't explain other than the fact that you were born of God, not of blood, not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God, which is the work of God's Spirit. Nicodemus asked a few questions about this, and Jesus goes on to tell him that in verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? The world is already condemned. The world is already under condemnation. There was no need to doubly condemn it. It was already under the wrath of God. It was already corrupt. We were already products of the fall. The Son came to what? Save the world. Save those that would be born of the Father. He says in verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, what is this condemnation? That the light has come into the world. It takes light to see, right? And men love their darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Jesus said the world is not going to hate his brothers, his half-brothers, but they're going to hate him. Why? Because he testifies that the world's works are evil. So the world is not going to come to the light. Remember, the light was in his life. He had eternal life in him, and that life was the light of men. So those that received him are those who have been born from above by the Spirit of God. Their hearts have been opened to the light, which is the life of Jesus, and they've been made a new creature. That's why he says in verse number 20. Verse 20 gives us the answer of those who come. For everyone who practices evil, lives in evil, binds in evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear his deeds should be exposed. Here it is, verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light. For what reason? That his deeds, his actions, his ways may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. They are the work of who? God himself. The reason people come and take a hold, Brother Shannon, and seize Jesus is so that it's clearly manifest that this is the work of God in them. God's done something. Man couldn't do this for himself. Man couldn't will it. Man couldn't desire it. Man didn't have nothing in him that wanted it. He shunned the light because he liked his evil darkness. But because God done something in him, he comes to the light so that it can be clearly known to him that it was God who did this, not man himself. That's why John starts off the letter the way that he does. That man is not born of blood, and it's not in his DNA. It's not been passed down to him. The only thing been passed down to him in his bloodline and his DNA is corruption, is a fall, is sin that's been passed down. But God does something unique with that. That's why he says, go to chapter 5. Look in chapter 5. Look in verse 24. 5:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, who hears my words and believes in him who sent me, what does he have? He doesn't say he will have everlasting life. What does he say he has? That everlasting life, John explained in chapter 1, around verse 3, that everlasting life is the light of men. That's why they come to Jesus. Why? Because God's done something in them. God has worked in them. That's why they come. And they don't receive everlasting life. They have everlasting life already in them. That's why they can what? That's why they can hear. And why they believe. Because Jesus is going to teach them in John 8, the reason you don't hear is because you're not of my Father. You of your father, the devil. That's why you can't hear what I'm saying. That's why you don't believe in what I'm saying. If you were of my Father, you would love me. You would welcome me. You would receive me. Why? Because the life I give you is light, and that light reveals me and who I am. Verse 25 of same chapter, chapter 5, most surely I say to you, the hour is coming and is already now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will what? Oh, who is he talking about? The dead. He's talking about a world that is not yet, that light has not penetrated their hearts yet, That everlasting life's not in them yet, but there is the day coming and is already happening when Jesus speaks life in the people, and that everlasting life is in them, and when it's in them, they're going to hear Him and they're going to believe Him, and He's going to raise them up from the dead. Not a physical death, but what? Those who are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead people are spiritually blind people. They can't see the light. God's got to do something supernaturally to open their hearts so that they can see the light and come out of death into life. And that life is Jesus Himself. He takes it a step further. He says, I know that's going to blow your mind. Verse 26, for the Father has life in Himself, so He has also granted the Son to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Don't marvel. Don't be stunned by this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice, and they will come forth. Those who have done good, that are righteous, they will be under the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So automatically, he knew the people that he was teaching, Sandy, would say, man, how in the world the dead, what are you talking about, are going to hear His voice and they're going to have life? Well, he said, let me clarify that. Don't think that's a marvel, because there's something else that's going to take place. Actually, those who are in the grave. There's coming a day when even the dead who are die lost are going to hear the voice of God that says, come forth. Amen. And they're going to come alive, and they're going to receive a body to stand before the great white throne of judgment. They'll be judged and cast into the everlasting lake of fire. And those that have trusted God, that were born of Him, that received Him, that welcomed Him, that trusted and followed Him, their resurrection will be unto everlasting life. He said, so every single soul that ever has been put in a grave, God's going to say one day, come forth. And they all going to come and present themselves before Him.
Yes.
All. But what He's doing in the meantime is those who are spiritually dead, He's calling them to life as He walks through this world and as He sends us forth to go proclaim the gospel. In John 10, He calls them sheep. He calls us sheep in John 10. Let's go a little bit further. Look in John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Look in verse number 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Remember, those that believe in Him once didn't believe in Him, and those that didn't believe in Him were dead, but they received life when Jesus what? Spoke in them, and they heard His voice. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out, for I have come down from the Father not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has what? Given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it, that would be the body, that would be the church, up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So now He says, who sees Him? Remember, hearing in the kingdom is what? Seeing in the kingdom. Why is it seeing? Because His life brings what? Light. And light gives us the ability to see. Well, that light comes through hearing His voice, hearing His call. And He says, every single one that the Father has already given me will hear my voice and come to life. Verse 43, he says, Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all, that is, who the Father gave him, shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father does what? That's that life. That's life that he gives. That's why John reiterated in the very beginning, men are not born again of their own accord. This is not what man does. It's impossible for man to save himself. This is that they've been born of God. Not by their own desires, not by their own delights, not by because mama wanted it, not because of their bloodline, but because the Father worked this out. We can keep on reading that and going through it. If you look in verse 65 of John 6, it says, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by who? And the only way to be granted by the Father, you got to be a child of the Father. And the only way to be a child of the Father, you got to be born by the Father. Amen? You got to be born of the Father before you could be a child of the Father. Are you with me? Just the way it works. That's just an order of things. And if you've been born of the Father, that can't be reversed. Look in chapter number 8. Look in verse number 41. Remember, we're talking about deeds here. He says, the reason why those that do come to the Father come that their deeds may be clear that they've been done in God. Verse 41 of chapter 8 says, you do the deeds of your father. And they said, wait a minute, we were not born of fornication. We only have one father, and our father is God. But oh, how gravely they were mistaken. Jesus said to them, wait a minute. If God, my father, was your father, you would what? You would love me. Why? Because you would have the Father's DNA in you. And the Father's DNA is, God is love, isn't he? Amen. And you would love not only Jesus. John goes further in 1 John, and he says, how do you know if a man's been born again? He has a love for the brethren. Amen. If he loves Jesus, he loves those who have been born of Jesus, who have been begotten by Jesus. Man can't say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. It don't work that way. So what he's saying is that if you love God, you would love me. For I, verse 42, proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? To understand it, you got to have light. You got to be able to comprehend it. They didn't have that. Why? Because you are not able to listen or to hear my word. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, the devil, you want to do. He is a murderer, and he's been a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And there is no truth in a man that doesn't belong to God. When he, the enemy, speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin, Jesus said. And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not what? I don't know how clear that can be. And to hear God's words means you got to be born of God. So if I can't hear God's words before being born of God, it would be impossible for me to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus unless I've first been born of God. And God gives me life, and that life has light to be able to see why I am what I am and who I am in him. Because what he's done in me. Amen? And us, that's what John is writing about. Look over in chapter number 10. Chapter number 10, let's just read in verse number 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they, my sheep, may have life, and that they, my sheep, may have it abundantly." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for who? For who? For who? Who does the good shepherd give his life for? For us, the sheep. Who are the sheep? Those who have been what? Born of God. That hear his voice. Those that hear his voice have God's life in them. That's why they could hear his voice. Verse 12, "But a hireling is he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." Verse 13, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And I am known by my sheep." Why does his sheep know him? They've been what? Born of God. Verse 15, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for who? For the sheep." Verse 16, "Now get ready to do a cartwheel, jump a pew, run in the rain around the church, because I want to tell you he's fixing to bring you up." Verse 16, "And other sheep I have, not that I will get, not that will come to me later, but I already have them." Why do I already have them? Because remember, Jesus said, "The Father has already given them to me." Have they been born yet? But have they been given to him? And everybody said, "Yes, they have. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I might bring." Is that what he says? Watch it now. "Them I possibly could bring." Is that what it says? What does it say? "Them I must bring." These, my sheep that the Father has given me, they will hear my voice. Jesus already said, if you don't hear his voice, the reason you don't hear his voice, you're not of God. You hadn't been born of God. The only way to hear his voice, you got to be born of God. So he says, "They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Not one person takes it from me. "But I lay down my life of myself. I have power. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up and rise again." Why? I've been given a command from my Father. And ain't nothing in this world able to alter that command. I have the authority to give my life and raise it up. And that is why the Father has given me the sheep that belong to me. Verse 19, he goes on. They had a problem with it. They couldn't figure it out. So it says in verse 24, "Then the Jews surrounded him and they said to Jesus..." Now, how long do you plan on keeping us in doubt? Quit fooling around with us. If you are the Messiah, the anointed one, as you claim, just tell us plainly. Just be clear with it. You can't be no clearer than what he's been clear with. But remember, they wasn't his sheep. They couldn't hear because they had no life in them. And because they had no life in them, they had no light in them. And without any light, you couldn't see clearly that this is the Messiah. And this is why Jesus said in verse 25, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe. Why? Because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? And I give them alone, eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has what? Given these sheep to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And he was talking about me, and he was talking about you that have given your lives to Jesus way back when, that you've already been given to him. You're his. That's who he shed his blood for. That's who he gave his life for. The sheep that have been given to him by his Father. And the only way people get to know that they are his sheep is when we go tell them what Jesus did when he came to this earth and laid his life down for the sheep and shed his blood and rose again. And God speaks life into those that he births into the kingdom. And they see Jesus as their King and Lord and Master and Shepherd and sacrifice and substitute, and they trust him with their lives and they follow his voice from that point on. He interrupts them. They've been doing their own thing, but the Father reached down and puts life in them. We call that regeneration, as Paul talked about it in Titus, that God regenerated and renewed us and then poured out his Spirit upon us through the work of the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ. He says, when we see the loving kindness of the Lord, when it becomes clear to us, we trust him with our life and follow after him. And the reason we come to him is so that it can be clear that this is what God's done in us. Not what we've done ourselves, not what man could do for us, but what God's did in us so that we could trust Jesus with our life. That's called the grace of God, the redeeming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a blessing, amen? Amen. What a blessing to be part of an eternal purpose that changes how we perceive life and our perception and perspective on what life is about when we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, to him be the glory. Amen. To him be the glory. We won't have to say, "Keep you got me in suspense here. You got me in doubt. Are you really? Are you really the anointed one of God?" Oh, you'll know. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You'll know you're his sheep and you're going to follow him. Amen? Man, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you tonight for your kindness and goodness, for illuminating these things to us. We pray that you help us go forth in your strength, your power, that you give us that eternal power to be effective to proclaim these eternal things that will change the entire perspective of men and women and boys and girls, that the way that they perceive and their perspective of daily life will alter and be transformed through your amazing and wondrous grace. Thank you for taking upon flesh and being my substitute, my shepherd, my redeemer. Lead us now. Thank you for this time we've had tonight. Thank you for these requests that we've been able to pen and put on paper and ask those that we care for and trust to pray over us and bring them before you. And we're thankful that you hear and that you answer when we pray according to your will and through your wisdom. Bless this time of fellowship around the table. Thank you for the food today. Thank you for meeting our needs. You say you satisfy every mouth by your mercy, and we see it and we believe it, and therefore we want to give thanks unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.